needed the magic environment variable to make XCV-based xlib not break. That hasn't been true for a long time. Any questions you want to ask about what's up with XCV?
It's working too well these days.
Yeah, so libx11 1.4 is released. Thanks, Alan.
Not quite.
You've got a release
candidate.
Oh, right. Right. So we've got an RC for
1.4,
and
as of 1.4, shortly.
Sure. So as of 1.4, as of 1.4, there is no non-XCV version of libx11. So I'm very happy.
So in particular, you're now guaranteed that if you are making use of xlib, that you can call xget xcv connection and make use of xcv without worrying about if the particular install on the system is compiled without support for that.
So just to make this clear, what that means from a developer's standpoint is if you have some xlib-based code, you can say, you know, I don't like making this particular function call through xlib. I'm going to replace this one function call with an xcv call. And it integrates just fine with all the rest of your xlib-based code. You're sharing the same x connection. You've got all the same state. The only thing that you can't do incremental migration on is event handling. You have to do all of your event handling in xlib or do all of your event handling in xcv. You can't mix and match. But all of your request and reply handling, if you want to migrate just one function call at a time, you can do that. And so with xlib 1.4, if you've got that on the system, you're guaranteed that you can take advantage of this migration. So I'm hoping, let's see, is Tickle actually in the room right now? No. Let's see.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Chris Wilson. Sorry. You know, IRC Nix, whatever.
There's just one thing that I came across a while ago, and there's an interface in the XTest suite which is using some internal interface in the old XLive, which is no longer there when you use XCV. And this interface is, I think, to test the wire protocol directly. And this, of course, doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't. I'm sorry.
There are different ways of compiling the test suite.
And
there is one really going into some internal interface in XLive, and that's no longer there. Maybe
didn't someone like Aaron Flattner recently patch that?
Well, there have been a few things that Aaron and some other folks have been fixing to make it so that very strange things that XTS does are still supported. but you're saying that you can't compile some of these?
Yeah, but XTS? I don't recall the details anymore, but it's looking into some pieces of XLive.
Yeah.
Dealing with some strange things which don't even exist in the XCV anymore because they were deemed to be never used or never really relevant.
Right. I'd be interested in hearing more about this if you can look up the details.
Yeah.
In general, of course, I'd much rather fix XTS than continue supporting weird things.
Yeah. I mean, there are different ways of compiling them and compiling the test suite, and of course, there's one way you can build it that it also works perfectly with XCV.
Okay.
But maybe there should be a native way to not use XLive underneath, but directly on XCV.
For
direct
XTS
interface.
Are you suggesting that an XTS implementation is direct on XCV? That'd be cool.
Sounds like a great thing to port, definitely. Certainly might find some corner cases in XLib or rather corner cases in XCV.
Although I certainly hope not.
I certainly hope not yet.
Any other issues?
Well, can you go back to the Antonio that you mentioned?
Yes.
I mean, in a few days, it have a really weird or using a case that you actually might be using JV in some way. Depends on how you compile the new JV style. The event handling, the event dispatch is actually done inside IP. So we have no idea if it uses XCD or not. So how can we mix it and how will it work?
That's a fine question. It should be true in that case. I mean, if GTK switched over to doing its event handling using XCD, then it should be true that GTK is telling Xlib, I want to do event handling using XCB, and it's GTK's problem to make that declaration?
Well, the thing is that we have no idea to which version of GTK we are going to link it. We basically have loaded at runtime. So we are definitely going, at some point we are going to mix GTK that does not support XCB and Qt that might support XCB.
Well, but only the code that's doing event handling cares.
Only event dispatcher or
right. So wherever you do your event dispatcher, that should be the component that's responsible for telling Xlib, quit consuming my events. I want to get to the next thing.
I don't quite understand what you mean. Yeah, if there is an event dispatcher loop, and let's say it is handled by GTK, but then you, for example, when we get the mouse over that motion identifier, we actually the event, like asking, do we have any more motions if I can compress them out?
Right.
So is that also an event dispatcher?
So you would be asking GTK in that case, though,
no,
right?
No, we are using Max Tool Therapy.
So that's not going to work.
How can you currently do that, handling events from multiple toolkits simultaneously? It seems to me somewhat unlikely that they're going to play nice with each other in this way.
Well, right now the GTK event dispatcher provides some kind of hooks. You can provide callbacks that will be called when there is event pending or something like that. So we, when that hook is, when that callback is executed, we go back to the Xlib asking like, are there more events, maybe
so
like Xseek and then.
Are you talking about using the glib style main loop?
Yeah.
So I don't of course care at all about how you handle events like this socket is ready for reading. So if all you're doing is asking GTK, or more precisely asking glib, to inform you that you can read from the next that is.
But after that, we also call, for example, xsync and xcheck if event to see if there are more motion events.
Sure, but as long as only Qt in this scenario is actually using the. Is actually looking at x events, then that's fine. Then it's Qt's problem to declare whether it wants to use xlib or use xcb. So what you would have trouble with is if GTK were consuming X events from Xlib and Qt were also consuming X events from Xlib. But that's a very strange, on the same X connection. But that's a very strange thing to do anyway.
I think that's what happens with the Flash. When you have a Qt-based WebKit browser and WebKit engine and the Flash, they're sharing the connection.
Flash is in a separate process, isn't it?
With a separate display connection, doesn't it have?
I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think your passive X connection display to them.
That would be scary.
Yeah,
can we not do that? Certainly all of the people who are trying to get plugin stability and separate Flash away from the browser are going to be very disappointed when it can still crash their X connection and their browser can no longer render.
You can't share an X connection across multiple processes anyway.
At a minimum, yes.
So if you want to put Flash in a separate process, you're definitely going to be safe as far as this is concerned. And really, I don't want Flash in the same process as anything else.
And I'm happy to stop that sentence at I don't like Flash, but that's obviously not a universal sentiment.
Well, I hear it, yeah. Well, it will be an interesting question. It will be fun to try.
We certainly welcome any bug reports if it turns out not to work.
Yeah.
But we expect it to work.
I don't think you're actually going to have an issue here, because I think it would have been anything that would be a problem of this sort would have been a crazy thing to do with pure excellent too.
So I did some awfully crazy things.
I love grabbing that. The thing that seems most likely to me to be difficult with migrating event handling is anywhere that people are using check event, if event, all that family of exit calls where you can look ahead in the event queue. That's the only place where I can imagine like some library trying to look for a particular event and expecting that to work at all.
So why doesn't it?
Among other doesn't what?
Why can I not?
Why can you not XCD if event?
Yeah.
Not least of which because XCD doesn't have an event queue.
That's
and
not true.
Okay. Doesn't. It likes to hide the fact that it has a separate event queue in any case.
It was, from my point of view, it was a crazy API to offer in the first place.
Okay.
You shouldn't be doing your event processing in order.
Okay.
The other part of that answer is that you can build an arbitrary look ahead event queue on top of what XCD provides. So if you really want that, that's what you should be doing. It's not XCD's job to provide
it. How am I going to be able to process the events in order? Doesn't work for input.
Doesn't work for input.
No, because you might get an input event. You see the input event, and then you want to look ahead in the bubble to see what you actually need to act on that. There's a couple of more.
I would argue that that's looking at the problem backwards. No, I should give the caveat that I understand the byte-level structure of the X protocol very well. Actually, stringing together X requests, something I'm not so good at. So I have strong opinions about event handling that may be completely not based in reality. And it's a discussion I'd be interested in having, but I don't think it's...
You don't remember about this, so...
So, what was it? What was it?
They connect to me? Oh, no, it was just a comment on that, on the main should be processing the on the handle rules, because sometimes you have to skip ahead and keep it moving.
If you want to do motion compression or something, what you can do is instead of act on the motion event, when you get that motion event, you can queue and idle, so that when you're done processing the event, and you just avoid going to the select, that's when you deliver that compressed motion. So you don't just get the contact have and you put the latest position up to date, and then the idle hand, you do what you would have done after these were two.
That's
exactly
right. Agreed. Yeah. And the processing time is quite, so we have to like at some point.
No,
the system is the system all this time.
You don't have to deliver that motion when you get the callback connected. When you get that decision event, you just queue a callback later. So you don't forward that event into the application or even into QT. You just keep it in the X. Yes, code, and when you realize that your eyes are no longer in the queue, where you need to go back into select queue or the menu, you can then look at what was that, did you get any delayed motion at this point, and then deliver them that point.
Right.
That way you get efficient, you effectively you get motion compression, but you don't use it.
I can tell Adam really wants to make a lot of
It's real still to do a lot of virtual function calls inside, but to put it in a queue, basically, like half labor the.
Yeah, you're just hiding some of that work in XIF event so it looks like less. But XIF event is actually fairly inefficient in that it requires you to repeatedly skip over the events that aren't the type you want. So better
if you have a quadratic algorithm.
Cool. In practice, most of what's in your queue is probably motion notify events, but nevertheless.
If you keep the R, then we will just keep all of them, and we will take only the last one.
I think that what I was actually getting at was not how should I be writing my application instead. What I was getting at was it seems like a pretty big bait and switch almost, if you're saying, oh yeah, you can mix xlib and xcd calls, except for all the events.
I see.
Like, I can't, it's hard for me to justify having the ability to use both APIs at once, except for this one thing. If you have that information, even though you don't like that API, and potentially with very good reason.
I don't think, porting, like... No, adding those functions doesn't help with the migration plan problem.
You still have to port all of your event handling at once from the xlib calls to the xcd calls, regardless of whether it sounds like you're suggesting an impedance mismatch between what the code that is using the xlib calls might expect and what the xcd calls provide. But if so, then you can continue using the xlib event loop until as just as good an event queue API as anything else until you port. But it's kind of unavoidable to port all of your event handling at once because there is only one stream of events and you can't associate them with the requests you made via xlib versus the requests you made via xcd. There's just the events that are sent asynchronously from the server.
The question is how you demux events if you want some of them to go through xlib and some of them to go through xcd, right? It's
It's not trivial what that means. Wait, just, are we talking about just events here or replies as well?
Yeah,
just events.
Just
events, replies not, but that still doesn't really make sense to me. I'm having a very difficult time not phrasing what it says. I'm hearing it doesn't look pretty, so I don't want to do it. Why can I not use xlib to keep the event queue?
You absolutely can, as long as you're using xlib's event handling.
No, I got that part. Why can I not use? I have a plugin that was written against xlib 10 years ago.
Okay.
I have an API compatible xlib over here that's using with an application that is otherwise using xcd for its event loop processing. I load this plugin. It has code that does xp get events. Why won't it work?
Your application at that point doesn't have the option of switching to the event loop.
Right. Arguably, it is. You're right that it's not API compatible, but it's not an API problem of xlib. It's that you unknowingly included as part of your plugin API for this application that its plugins are allowed to use xlib and expect events to be in xlib's event queue.
Oh,
well, you've expanded your application ABI to include xlib. Don't do that.
Oh, wow. I have real difficulty with that. Did you seriously just say, let me be very, very clear about this. You seriously just said it is unreasonable for X applications to have expected to use xlib.
No.
Did you really just say that?
No, I didn't. I'm quite confident I didn't, or at least that's not what I meant, if that's how you're taking it.
I have no option but to link against libx11.so.6. Those APIs have to work. I don't see how this is a hard problem to get.
You've handed a display from...
Let me short-circuit this. If you have a suggestion about how we can implement this so that you can do incremental migration of events, that would be awesome.
So,
I don't know how to do it.
I don't understand why they... why are they different queues? Why is it that I can get an event either into xlib's event queue or into xcd's event queue? What part of the code is that? Like, where... That doesn't make any sense to me. It's a single type. You're reading from one socket.
But... It is a single socket.
It expects to have in the display structure the X event structs.
Okay.
Those are not protocol structs anymore. Those are decoded structs.
Okay.
So XCD doesn't have those.
Well, no. XCD has every opportunity to take those, to take events as they come off the wires, pop them in there.
No, it can't. XCD doesn't have the translation function. Well, it's XLib can't populate.
XLib has those translations.
That's not the right way around to look at it, right? It's XLib would have to consume them out of XCV and put them into it.
Which is exactly what it does,
unless you ask
but
it not
the
to.
The problem is that there are fields in the XLib display structure which are public, which expose that cube. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be able to get XLib events, if you want to be able to see if there are any events in XLib, you ask XLib. XLib pulls the events out of XCV and sticks them in its event cube.
And if I remember correctly, isn't XIF event a macro that...
No, but... No.
There are a couple.
Yeah,
there are
several
macros. There are macro versions of them,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So yes, I mean, XLib's event queue is a public data structure as part of the guts of display.
Yep.
The only way to have events in XLib's event queue is to put them in that data structure, which means they are no longer in XCV's event queue, so you can't call XCV wait event and expect to get them.
This is why this is a hard problem. It's again, you know, XLib provided something that they pretended was an API, and
the real API was the display structure as usual.
Yeah,
right.
And if that were not true, we could probably have hidden the XCV API underneath the XLib API and said, if you ask for an event via XLib, we will read it out of XCV and use it. Modulo some quirks about peaking, but in any case, we can't hide it because it's a public data structure.
Because you chosen not to mem copy them into XLib.
No, that's
not relevant here.
Yes.
No, it's not. You can either duplicate the event queues and have XLib mirroring the entire XCV event queue, or you can have XLib pulling them one at a time out of the XCV event queue. So you don't get to have XLib APIs touching the XCV event queue because the XLib APIs aren't functions.
Right. No, I got that.
So
but they're in this event queue is in the display structure,
which is not part of XCV.
But when XLib is using XCV to communicate, XLib has the opportunity to tell XCV, by the way, there's a display over here with this event queue. When you get events on it, you need to append them here.
XCV can't put events into XLib's queue.
Why not?
Because they're not X events. They're XLib events.
No.
That's decoding. Those are not binary compatible structures.
Typing.
No, that you have to actually suck in all of XLib to get those decoding functions because each decoding function is in the header file, the .so for the extension that defines that type of event.
This isn't even in core XLib. This is every extension library in XLib.
XLib's events are not wire events.
I know. You have one library for every extension already. This is typing.
Are you talking about typing as in a type system or typing as in
event types?
I wanted to provide, there is a very easy, there seems like a path here, getting this, to being able to use XPeak events, is
XCV uses an XLib event structure.
XCV explodes them out into XLib if it thinks that XLib is going to need them.
You would basically duplicate the event and keeping them in sync. So when you pull an event out of the event queue in XLib, you have to tell XCV, oh, by the way, your event that you thought was in your queue is now gone.
Yeah. You have to. You can't get a queue. Can you get an event out of
it? Yes, you can pull a queue event out of the middle of the XLib event queue.
In a macro.
It is expected that you can go fiddle with the guts of the display function.
Which means that when XLib can call XCV and save that and so on.
There is code that is outside of XLib that uses the event queue directly out of the display structure. I think there's some in the XServer tree.
That delete that it modifies the queue?
I forget whether it only reads it or whether it modifies it.
It only reads it, and you can just mirror the two event queues.
I think it modifies it, though.
Well, and even if it didn't, there's nothing stopping someone from doing this. That would be an ABI break if we said, oh, you can look at the structure, but if you modify it like you could before with XLib, it would break.
Don't think the data type's necessary to modify the event queue of public.
I think the ABI contract there was a good word for extension lists, but not applications. Well,
that's contract. A fascinating, yeah, having the same reaction. What contract? It's a struct. You can do anything you can in C, and people do. This is why you don't make C structs your API when they look like display.
I got the preaching, that's fine.
No, I'm not trying to preach, I'm just...
Yes, you are.
Okay, a little.
I mean, this sounds, it sounds to me like a problem that typing in memcopy will solve.
Not memcopy.
But, yeah. Large quantities of decoding code that currently lives in xlib.
Well, it can continue to live in xlib, right?
Yeah.
So xlib is just going to shadow the event.
So you're saying don't move events out of XCD, right. Copy events out of XCD.
And then have xlib, every time it pulls an event out of its queue.
Well, what happens when you get an event from an XCD?
And XCD has to tell xlib to delete the event from its queue.
This sounds like a terrible thing to engineer.
It doesn't sound that difficult.
Patches welcome, I guess.
Well, keeping two ugly data structures in sync.
Right. Patches marginally tolerated, I guess. So, first of all, this would definitely require either XCD to have an event queue or to have a standard event queue on top of the event queue. XCD has to have a public event queue.
No, you don't have to make it public, just
you have to make an API for it public.
There is, at this point, no API in XCD that is XCD specific. So we're talking about
well, there's the whole stuff. there's the whole display migration stuff.
Yeah, that's not XLib specific.
Right. Well, it's built for XLib. Nobody else uses it.
Yeah.
You can put some code in all the XLib calls that gives callbacks into XLib to manipulate the XLib.
I suppose we could try to make API that goes with the ability to take socket that also says, if I want to handle some events, I can mirror them out of XCD and then tell you things like, you know, shoot down this event from the queue and
call this function when you're taking something out of the queue.
Yeah, XCD stole an event and give it a sequence number or whatever. Yes, I suppose we could do that. Well, a sequence number by a lot of transition.
Patches, you know, go for it.
Well, at this point, you effectively can't use XCD event processing today. If you link in any non-XCD code, you can't use XCD for event processing.
Right. Yes, and you have to convert your entire XLib using code base that's talking on that display to use XCD events simultaneously, yes. So if you have a bunch of code outside of your immediate code tree that also touches the same display, it all has to be converted to.
You have to ensure that it is not touching the event.
Right.
Which is a slightly different state.
Or at least that it does not expect any events to be there.
Right.
Which is more or less
because, the same. Because you're certainly allowed to call the xlib event functions after saying that I don't want to get events from xlib. They just won't actually give you anything. Just, you know, maybe not what you expected, but...
It won't crash.
Yeah. So that was quite a discussion. Can we move on?
So a couple of questions raised via IRC. One was the notion of API and ABI stability in XCD as compared to, for instance, XLib, and whether we plan to have any major breaks.
We very much plan not to break ABI. XCD. We made that commitment when we did the 1.0 release a few years ago.
Right. Our intention is that we may well add functions, right. And thus you may, you know, build against current XCD and not use older XCD, but we don't have any intention of breaking the current XCD API or ABI as much as we've considered a couple of things that and might benefit from it.
There are a number of places in XCD's API where it gets tempting.
Right. Such as, for instance, the checked versus unchecked void request distinction might have been a mistake.
Or might have been, we need to make the distinction, but that may not have been the right way to do it.
Certainly not necessarily by doubling the number of functions in the library.
Right.
But it's there.
That's kind of unfortunate.
But nevertheless, yes, if you build against XCD today, you should be able to continue working against XCD in the future without expecting another porting effort.
But that only covers the core libraries, right? Not retail?
Not
XCV util.
Oh yeah, util has no.
The bits that have been split out of util have slightly. Some of them have been. I don't know if all of them have been. The bits that have been successfully split out of util are more stable. I don't know that anybody has made the same, you know, promise for forever that we're attempting to make. But they are certainly not intended to change. The ones that are still built as part of XCV util are very much in experimental playgrounds.
Yeah.
But if you want them not to be, then you know we should talk about that further. Does that? I think that covers the question answered.
Yeah. Were there other?
There was. The other question was if anyone is planning on working on Cairo XCV / Xlib XCV.
So is Chris Wilson in the room now? I can't see you behind your laptop.
Like you said, I was hiding.
Does anyone actually care to do Cairo XCV? It's mostly that.
Yeah.
A few places don't actually pass the test suite. That's my absolute problem. But it doesn't actually use it, right?
I mean, does it weenery?
No.
The faster?
Marginal.
Okay.
It lets you do error at length.
It's actually integrated into an XCV application. It's my existing application maybe.
Sorry, what?
If you switch over to type XCV, you don't want to use type XCV.
So certainly, yeah, that helps.
Yeah, if you're not that big demand, but no one's actually come asking to make sure it works as part of what courses you're in the window manager.
Right.
How are you going on one thing I've seen a couple times, really done anything about. We have a bajillion libraries, and most of them don't do anything. So it's a little bit expensive to have, in terms of memory reallocation processing, to have at least one text and data and BSS section for all however many extension libraries you have. Have you looked at doing the obvious ELF filter thing?
ELF filters
are a really cute trick. You build one library that you don't explicitly link against, and then you build a bunch of other libraries that are just stubs that are a little more than a list of names and a provider library. So you can say, I'm the XCV res. And what that will do is the functions in the XRes extension namespace will be pulled from libxcv-giant blob. But the rest of the symbols won't. And one end app instead of a bajillion.
So the notion is that the API is of libxcv-extension-name.so.whatever,
right.
But the implementation detail is that those are all provided by a single library mapped into your application once.
This is a relatively common thing on some other operating systems. Solaris, libc, and libm are actually the same binary. It's same for a lot of the system libraries in OS X. Libc is a subset of a bunch of other stuff, which is a filter that comes out of it.
So
it sounds like a great improvement.
It sounds like a perfectly reasonable thing to do, especially since it sounds like we would not be breaking API or ABI any way to do that, and we could always switch back and forth between alternatives if we wanted.
Yeah.
So as a means for accelerating it, that sounds perfectly fine. It does. To me, sound like a workaround for the linker sucking, and that it would be best worked around in the linker. However, it's a fine workaround, and if it speeds things up until someone fixes the linker, by all means.
The linker doesn't really have the option to MF things in a smaller than page, because you can't do that.
So you're not talking about the speed hit of in mapping 12 different libraries. You're talking about the memory footprint hit of fragmentation, or rather an extra fraction of a page per library?
Well, it's an extra.
Give me just 1 second, I'll do some math for you.
Okay.
But it's more like an extra 3 pages per library.
Right.
I
because you're only using part of the page, but you still have to map the entire page. It depends on whether you're actually using any DSS and whether you're actually using KS. Zero or the valid size.
No, they're not. You cannot make a shared library with zero.
Really? That also sounds like a bug in the linker. Why not?
It's nice that you think that. But I mean, there's...
It just seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to do to simply not have those sections at all.
That's how ELF works.
Yay.
But I mean, you've got, there are 31 libxdb dash something. Each of them has a DSS of 16 to 100 bytes. If I map all of them, I have 31 pages. If they're all separate libraries. If I map one library, I have one page.
Sure.
So it's not huge, but if, especially for embedded systems, it's, you know, every page counts kind of anymore.
Sure. I've not heard of the ELF filter trick.
It's under document. But playing with the dual chain is something that everybody should do at least once.
Do we have other questions? Nothing from the channel, so anything from the room?
What's the site of Xite and XKB?
That's an excellent question. Peter Harris was volunteering to look over the summer Quizlet. And it sounded like he was going to do that soon. But,
I believe. Because he just input the channel. What they go is we prefer to start in the regular. I think he was the one who stated that there is some code, so he was going to do the work.
So, question for the IRC channel was it the summer code work on XKD? See, specifically the XKD extension was the summer code by there.
Does not have libxcd?
One library? Yeah, there's no reason not to make it the core library.
We
should just have one library that has the protocol.
So you're arguing that we shouldn't even have libxcdx.so, we should have libxcd.so and include both the core functions and all the extensions and all the core protocol in it.
That changes the API on the existing libxcd.so?
Only if we don't call the library libxcd, impl.so, and use the filter trick for libxcd as well.
Yeah.
Which seems again like a feature.
Yeah.
Well, so Keith, you're arguing we shouldn't bother with the ELF filters at all and just perfect.
I do like the idea of not needing to pave the namespace you don't use. I ship the machine without GLX.
Yeah.
There's no reason. And I know that the rest of my system doesn't have it, then if I don't provide the filter for GLX, then nothing links against it.
Cool. Yeah.
I don't want to have it doesn't. That's okay. But there's no reason not to have the implementation library be both the core and the extensions that have to support.
Right. Thank you.
So yeah, that's an interesting point raised. The downside of having all of the extensions mapped in a single library via filters is that if you needed two extensions and you now get 29 more for free, that's also wasted memory.
You know, it isn't. It's not in memory.
They don't. Code that you don't.
I see.
All doesn't get paged in.
Assuming that it is all in separate pages, and of course, if it isn't, then you're not wasting anything
because you have to map something else in the page anyway.
I see. So you might waste a little bit of disk, which is not a problem because you were going to install those .SOs anyway.
If the disk space matters to you, then you build it at build time about
yes.
Right, which I think we have support for doing.
Right.
Fair enough.
It is a trade-off, right, because there's legitimate arguments for the data sections where you are going to pay more for data because the one data section you have is going to be the same size no matter what. But if that ends up being less than what each of the data sections was for all the libraries that you would otherwise load, it's still a win. And you can't run GDK without sync and shim and shape and screensaver and resource and test and Cinerama and fixes and damage and composite. So I mean, you're already 12 deep.
That's my list.
On the other hand, it would be good to not, for instance, build the libraries for the double buffer extension if someone ever builds an XCD implementation for that, or maybe we have one.
Yeah,
or the various other things no one cares about.
Right. If you are optimizing for absolute size where you have a defined set of extensions that's on your platform, then by all means build those filters and then they will drop out of the core as well.
Right. So the main thing I wanted to avoid in building this as a separate library for extension in the first place was the libxx problem,
right,
where you have this collection of there's maybe one or two extensions in there that people still actually use and the rest are obsolete.
More than that, but that breeding elf. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. The elf filters thing sounds great. I just wasn't aware of it, so built it this way.
So one question, is it an advantage to use ELF filters versus simply building a libxcbx with all the functions and using a pile of symlinks?
Yes.
What is the advantage?
It's nice. I can only record what APIs I need through the SO name. If I link against something named libxcb blob, I don't get to say I need to set extensions out of there. So I can't look at the application and know what APIs it needs.
I'm not saying link against that. I see what you're suggesting, that without the filter mechanism, then the symlink will also affect build time, not just runtime.
Any object that you link against that kind of symlink object will have a recorded needed section for the
basic
entirety.
You can't source it to say I needed it from this library or that library.
Right.
Without
the filters specify which set of symbols you're exporting from that library, so you know you have the right subset if you ever decide to go back to the non-filtered system.
And are those filters simply provided by the linker script and use the usual wildcarding type mechanisms?
They're not. This is getting a little bit into detail, but you name the symbols that you want exported from your filter, and then you hand that to LD.
Okay.
If we had to use the code generator to generate an extra file saying which symbols to use,
it would not make it particularly sad, yes.
So hyper matters.
Is that supported in all Binantis versions, or is it just a bleeding edge technology?
In some ways it doesn't matter, right? Because if it's not supported on your platform, then you can just build separate libraries.
Yeah.
Again, it's an implementation detail, but apparently it doesn't change the
API. I'm more thinking about embedded platform in this case, not about OpenBSD, because as far as I know, many of the cross-compiled toolkits used by embedded systems are also using quite old binaries.
But again, if it's
one of the points was that it's embedded system will suffer from the loss of memory. They cannot benefit from this.
I can try to find out how far back, at least for Binubin utils, this was recorded. And it's pretty long, like the last 5 years or so. And But again, if your platform can't build that way, then you don't build that way. And actually, it's not just a vision build feature, it's also a feature for runtime linkers. So, you know, previous vSwift might not know how to deal with build messages, in which case, you just don't need to build that.
Well, other questions? Or
to the reply to the city of how you put the
feature? Oh, yeah. Yes,
what was the link highlighting the. Yes. So apparently the necessary XML descriptions for the protocol are written for
XKB.
For XKB. And the issue is just enhancing the XML to C generator to actually handle that construct. Specifically, XKB has some fascinating bits of protocol that allow it to have piles of, what was the detail? Piles of interesting variable length structures embedded in requests and replies with various complicated runtime conditions to decide what is present.
Yeah, the structure of the of an XKB request or reply can depend on other values within that request or reply.
Kind of the generalized version of value param, where you can have some flags to indicate the presence or absence of pieces, except that instead of flags, you can have arbitrarily complicated conditions. So, yay!
It was
adds to the form that XKB uses.
Thank you, XKB Witcher.
Yes. And I believe XI was easier, but they still need it, like it is.
I think the only problem with XI was you had variable length structures inside variable length structures, and you didn't know the length of the second one until you parsed the first one.
Yeah.
At that time when I did it 3 years ago, it didn't have any context for that. So you have to look into the first variable length one to get the length of the next one, and it was confusing.
Right.
That should be easier than XKB anyway. Though XI2 uses the same thing itself. So once you get XI done, I think you can get XI2 done as well.
Nice.
Okay. I had the impression, in the case of the switch construct that they introduced for XKB is expressive enough to cover what XI is doing. Okay. So we just need the code generator bits and some idea of what a scenic guide would for some process should look like.
Which I think we have. There have been some suggestions for an approximate C API for how that should look to try to build such a thing with C function calls, and is somewhat strange, but it's hard to see how it could be simpler than the current suggestions. But that's a discussion that should probably continue in the couple of threads on the XCB list right now that are coming up with that API. So if you want to influence how the XCB API for XKB and XI2 will look and how you will play with it if you are using that instead of through a toolkit,
this would be a good time.
Yes. Well, this would be the time, yes, given our promises of API stability.
Although we are still using Stunning 0 for all the extension libraries.
Which is not necessarily meaning that they're not stable, but
yeah.
It is certainly, that is another point worth making, by the way, regarding API and ABI stability. Obviously, we're not planning to rev any of the APIs provided by libxcd, and its core API and the extension API and the core protocol API. But on the other hand, if you rev a major version of a protocol in an incompatible way, you can and should end up with an incompatible SO as well.
Well, so there's an interesting question of how you deal with it if you want to have an application that supports both the old version of the extension and the new version.
Right, which is interesting to deal with. Yeah. Does anyone care?
No. There are, other binary formats. Mojo, for example, have more than one version number on their libraries, and so they can actually say things like this is the VI support API sets 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And there's kind of a sliding window thing that they do there. Well, and so, and then your requirements from the library is which version you actually need.
Simple versioning.
Simple versioning gives you a lot of the way there, except it only works on this.
Well, okay.
If you're willing to do that, and I'm not suggesting that it's a bad thing at all, it's a fine thing to do, then what you do is you tag, as new symbols come in, tag them with the version as they came in, into the library, and then you rely on the dependency generator and debugger arm to pull that out of you. But we don't do that with the X libraries today. The basic assumption is that the client libraries are monotonically improving. And so if you so libx render just needs to get better and better and better over time because it's because they don't do anything, because they're just marginally protocol, they do have a defined end state of this kernel. Right. So you can just keep installing viewer libx render on an old system and know that it works.
This still does require proper library versioning on libx render such that you can simultaneously install the old and the new .so.
No, that's the point. You'll need to.
Well, that's not strictly true. If you rev the major version such that it is incompatible, then you need the old as well. Extensions do that.
No, they don't have.
I've seen a few of them.
Which one?
I'm trying to remember offhand. I've seen some cases of major version revs in the XCV extensions. Whether it's happened recently is another
question. In XCV extensions, sure. On those other protocol libraries, this hasn't happened.
No, he's talking about the protocol, though, not the library.
The protocol major versions.
The protocol increments, and that's fine. The same SO and API, the same SO version of the library supports both.
No, it doesn't right now.
The trouble when your stubs are direct mapping to your the protocol on the wire, if the protocol changes,
your stubs change.
Stub is different.
X-Fixes is 4.0, but it's still backwards compatible with 1.0. I don't think it's actually broken compatibility.
Yeah. Then arguably it should have been 1.4.
Well, that's irrelevant. I think Render had a case where one of the requests, without changing name or opcode, did change structure.
Yeah, I remember that one. There was a request where
you can actually bump the version number. That's still 0.11.
Yay!
Anyway, that's
how it's something of a challenge. It hasn't really come up.
Right. So the interesting question would be, if you were to actually bump the major version of the protocol of an extension protocol in an incompatible way, then what should happen to the XCV extension library for that extension? One possibility.
So the way this has worked before is that when you change, is that you export a new set of API for the new version of the protocol. The old API stays. And if you do query version, you tell the server, I support up to version 2. And the server returns and says, well, I support up to version 2 as well. And then you both speak version 2 on the wire. Or the server returns and says, well, I only speak version 1. And that comes back out to the client, who returns the query version, query extension, gets that major version number, and those are going to only use certain one protocol. You have a new API.
It's purely a question of CAPI, not a question of how the protocol handles it. The protocol does a pretty nice job of this.
If you can map the same API onto the new protocol, you do so. If you can't, you make a new API.
So in XCV's case, there is no map. So no, we can't map the old API onto the new protocol because the API is the protocol.
Quite the right way of interpreting what I've just said.
Okay.
the thing that is tricky here for us is...
because you generate your signature, your function signatures from the protocol.
Yes. Right. We could certainly keep around the old version of the XML and generate both the old and new versions of the protocol
and compile them. And we could annotate, copy the request structure in the XML and say this is for version this and this is for version that. And
which may or may not be better than simply copying the XML to a new version of the XML.
It means that for those requests that didn't change, which is generally most of them, you don't have to randomly change your code.
Let's extension authors that incompatible changes are no longer allowed, and if they want to make a new compatible change, it's a new extension name like DRI2.
So in other words, major versions are now part of the extension name, and there are no incompatible revs of the same extension name?
That could be a solution.
Anyone have any particular objection to this plan?
I mean, it sounds
like a lovely plan.
That's not how fixes is version, but fixes is version with a major number, but the major question is the definition of the protocol says that all of that successive major numbers are packers and packers.
So that's a different statement, yes.
The convention of the protocol.
Right.
There's no actual spec for
it. We don't have protocol conventions.
Unlike the reasons
the
other spec.
The major minor things that we do.
Right, so the question was not, you know, excluding the possibility of revving the major number. The notion is, does anyone have an objection to the notion that whether you rev major or minor in the protocol, you never actually change the protocol in backwards incompatible ways without changing the name of the extension?
Right, if you have the same opcode, same minor opcode, always should have the same structure.
I only know one case where that's not true.
What is that?
Render zero.
Render.
No one cares.
Did you say render or render?
RNR zero. Resize and rotate.
Not there is a case in render as well.
There might be.
So in that case, there has never been an XCB support for render zero anyway, so nobody can expect to have been using it.
It shipped on 10 devices. It's not an interesting case.
Okay. Awesome.
But yeah, you're not supposed to break it back to the wire incompatible. That's just stupid. You need to be able to tell if you're changing it from the major. Wow.
Well, so I think that's the end of this slot. The schedule says the next thing is a Zephyr.
So we changed this morning and we decided to finish to speak about WordPress 6.
WordPress X?
Yes.
Ah.
Which kind of rootless? There's two.
Without privilege.
Oh, unprivileged X as opposed to fully, as opposed to
How
many are rootless? I'm thinking just using that name instead.
Unprivileged and unprivileged and posted. Because rootless X is typically posted with enemies. So let's not say rootless at all.
So nobody updated the wiki, but...
No, I updated my slide and it's not even sorry.
Okay.
Oh. If you can email it, that's good.
So I want to point out that XR2 is just the name you referred to. It's not actually a changed extension, and it's still the XCB extension.
Right. I assume.
Yeah. As an example, your I2 is different.
We have a comment from IRC saying, please don't use next generation in the name of your extension, the version number.
That should be in here.
And the
new generation.